The Fan on Demand. Have you got game? Got game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590 and fan590.com.
This is Got Game, a show by gamers, for gamers, right here on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Each and every week, we bring you the latest in video game news, reviews, and interviews. We head to the gridiron and see what's new, what's good, and what is far from it. Madden NFL 12, EA Sports is getting all buddy-buddy with former football student athletes. More details for NBA 2K12 and its greatest teams, while Activision is hitting the pace car with a just-announced NASCAR game. We'll also check out Driver San Francisco, and Sony brings a PlayStation-certified tablet into the world.
Have you got game? The Lowdown.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. I am Zach Cooper. We've got Moment Sunglasses Qureshi.
Apparently, he's now part of the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, that might be the weakest nickname ever for Moment. Brian Calhoun and Christine Chubb.
Why are you wearing those things?
Lots of stuff we got to get to. And if you guys have something to say, you might as well say it now, because I'm gonna get into my Madden rant, and I'm gonna be going for a while. So, anything? I mean, anything at all? Are we good? Can we move on?
All right.
So
NASCAR the game.
We'll get to that in a minute. And this is something we get in an email from Calhoun that says Activision is ruining NASCAR. We'll tell you about that in a bit. We got some NBA. You know what's coming up. Here's what's happening right now. So Madden NFL 12 has now been out for a few days. It came out on Tuesday, and I've been asked countless times on Twitter, especially leading up to the release or on release day, you know, what I would think or what I thought about Madden 12. And with Twitter, it's very difficult. So you have to bring everything and condense it, you know, 140 characters. You know how it goes. So basically, the one thing that I told everyone was it really depends on what you're looking for. And this is a matter of, you know, if you've got Madden NFL 11 and you're thinking about getting this year's, you know, that's where it comes down to, well, if there's something in particular that you're looking for, you know, this is how we're going to help you determine, you know, whether it's worth the purchase for you. So the core gameplay with Madden NFL 12, it has been tweaked a touch. Fantastic new physics engine. You can see it basically in every tackle like you will in NHL 12 when that comes out in a couple weeks. Momentum, speed, the point of contact all play a huge part in each and every hit. And that's fulfilling. It feels good. It looks good. Now, because of the new physics engine, the running game is much more precise. You know, no longer does the ball carrier just float into contact or vice versa if you're, you know, the defensive player. No magnetism. You find a hole, you get through it. Great stuff. Game flow, which is something that they, you know, brought into last year's game to essentially speed up the whole process, you know, taking away from the play calling. And you still have the option to, you know, go the full-out system with the playbook and choosing your play manually. But the game flow has been expanded for Madden NFL 12. You still have the ability to go with just the game plan play, which is determined by your particular team and the situation you're in. It's not always the best play, but it's what, you know, has been figured out for you. But in this year's game, you now have the option of picking a running play or a passing play, and then you've got three other customizable plays, which I think works out excellent. And I was able to play through, you know, my first franchise season in a few hours, basically, because, you know, at this point I'm playing, you know, 4-minute quarters. You can play a game in about 20 minutes or so. I think it makes that process a lot more enjoyable. Now, the franchise mode in itself is a bunch of minor tweaks to the way the offseason is handled. And this is why, you know, especially with that first season, I wanted to get through it and see what's brewing in the offseason. And, you know, for the most part, I think they did a good job, especially for those fanatics who are interested and intrigued by every little aspect of, you know, signing players, re-signing players, releasing players. They've got cut down day, which is, you know, something that they were touting highly leading up to this release, and really, it's crap. I mean, it doesn't add to the experience for me. You know, I'm not someone who cares about the 75th guy on your pre-cut down roster. It, you know, I don't know a lot of these guys anyways, so I'm cutting the guy who's rated 46 and who's rated 43 because they're not going to play anyways. That really didn't matter to me at all. There's college scouting, which is really just a matter of putting a check mark beside a player's name, and as the season goes along, you unlock more ratings and stats and anything. Again, it's, yeah, whatever, sure, that's cool. It's another layer that they've added. The coolest part, which still isn't spectacular is the new free agent bidding process, which basically gives you, I think, 90 seconds or so to determine who you want and whether you're willing to pay them the most. And this is done in a raw list of all the players who are free agents. In this time, you don't really have much time to sift through who they are. So you better have an idea for what position you're looking for, or if you know for a fact what free agents are out there, you target them, because basically it's just a matter of pushing a button and seeing, you know, if you're still the highest bidder. There's no notification. You got to watch everyone you've bid on, which is, it's interesting. I mean, it's kind of frantic. I don't know if it really adds to the simulation, but it adds to the franchise experience. Now, online is the big thing, and this is really where I think the idea of it depends what you're looking for comes into play with Madden 12. Because if you're someone who plays online for the majority of the time, you know, Madden 12 is probably a must-have. And I'll explain why. So that what they've got basically is communities, online communities. You know, you basically they act as separate lobbies, separate leagues that you can create with your own rules, be it public or private. You know, there are still some hitches with lag that I found when I was playing online. But there is no doubt if you play Madden online, you basically have to get Madden 12. You know, they do a much better job of, you know, setting up the matchups, someone that's closer to your skill level with your skill points that you accumulate as you play, gives you a nice tally of, you know, at the end of a game, how well you've done at particular aspects of the game. Also, if you're willing to put up some cash with Virgin Gaming, you can also do some gambling online as well.
Oh, they're still doing
Madden
that thing?
12. Yeah. I'm not nearly good enough to do that with Madden. And really, in general, I'm not a gambler either, so I probably wouldn't mess with that. But I know there are a lot of competitive gamers out there.
I mean, if you're into it, you're into it.
Here's what my main beef comes in with Madden 12. You know, there was all this talk about the presentation being their focal point, and it would look and feel like a real NFL game. And in that statement, perhaps it is accurate, but only because they didn't say that it would sound like a real NFL game. Gus Johnson and Chris Collinsworth are back in the booth, and I'm not sure if this is a good thing at this point. Gus Johnson is arguably the greatest play-by-play voice of today. He's got, you know, some of the best calls ever. Unfortunately, it doesn't translate to NFL 12. And granted, I didn't play Madden NFL 11 all that much, so I don't know if he was, as repetitive the first time around, but the commentary falls behind all too often. Gus and Chris repeat themselves all the time, to the point where you're hearing the same comment multiple times each game. And when you're using the same team in a franchise, it's beyond annoying. It is frustrating. I was getting mad, which is disappointing.
But is that something that you can drop at their feet? Because that seems to be something along
the... I'm not blaming Gus Johnson or Chris Collinsworth. Okay, I'm blaming the audio department.
But if he's so good... Okay, yes. No, I understand. But if he's so good, you just start off by saying that you don't know if it's great to have Gus Johnson in this game again. So I was confused by that.
That's fair. I'm glad we clarified that. I don't blame you, Gus. I don't blame you or Chris, because I know you're listening. The audio department has failed miserably in this, and unfortunately, it's not just the audio department. Basically, every game starts with Gus saying, "Playing on the road, always a tough place to play. What does the traveling team need to do to win?" And that in itself is a pretty annoying comment, but they say it practically every game, including the Super Bowl, when both teams are traveling teams. It's at a neutral site. I really don't understand, you know, how you overlook this kind of stuff. And to me, it takes me out of the game entirely. It pisses me off completely. And it feels like, you know, this game shouldn't have been put out if the audio is not up to snuff. The visuals are fantastic. You know, I'll wrap it up in a bit. But it's not just the audio, because replays come into the mix as well. And I should mention the fact that even with the audio, it sounds like they kind of recorded it in separate studios, different mic quality, some of which doesn't, you know, we wouldn't even air it on AM radio. And also there are the levels are imbalanced. And, you know, it's like when you're watching television and your program is at one point, then a commercial comes on and all of a sudden it's really loud, and then the next one comes on and it's much quieter. This happens all the time in the game, and just another layer of frustration. To me, it's ridiculous. So, you know, I started to talk about the replay. Some of the biggest plays get no replays, or even follow-up commentary, for that matter. And so an example, I'm playing a game the other day. I'm up 17-10 at the clock winding down. The Texans, who I'm playing against, they go for a time-expiring Hail Mary. You know, try to get that ball into the end zone, get a touchdown, tie up the game. So it sails into the end zone in double coverage, but I've got no idea whether the receiver has caught the ball or not. No call, no replay. It just sort of hangs on a visual of the player. And then it goes to the final score screen. And I'm like, what the hell is that? Like, that is unacceptable. You know, it's stuff like this that just almost ruins the game for me, to the point where, you know, I'm getting clearly upset physically.
You should be. I wish our listeners could see the amount of steam that is shooting out of your ears right now.
These are scenarios that happen all the time, and it's really disappointing. And also, Obama's in the game and he looks like a zombie, but you know, and it really disappoints me, because the core gameplay in Madden 12 is solid. When you're playing the game, maybe it's a matter of just hitting mute and putting on some music or something. It shouldn't have to be like that, though. It really shouldn't, and it takes away a lot. With that being said, you know, the running game is amazing. It's still the Madden that we know and love, with some fantastic physics, some great big hits, and you know, it feels good. It just sounds horrible in the replays, need a huge kick.
They were touting similar things when I reviewed NCAA Football 12, but the chain tackles in that game were just strange and broken to the point where we actually discussed how, you know, you would gain or lose yards artificially because of the tackles. So, you know,
None of that happens in this game? No, it's the tackling is flawless. I love it. And I love
the entire physics system that they're touting is all good?
It's all good. It's really good, as a matter of fact. And that's why I'm not, you know, I'm not just saying don't get this game, because it's frustrating. I mean, you heard, you know, how emotionally invested I got in this, and it's a difficult experience to say, you know, well, you might not want to get Madden this year, but really that's what it comes down to. However, if you play online, or if you are a hardcore Madden fan, then, well, chances are you probably already have this. But if you do play online, or if you know you're going to be spending a considerable amount of time in your Madden gaming online, you should probably check it out, because the gameplay is solid. It's just the replays and the audio that is sheer and utter crap. So it's tough to find a score to wrap this all up, but have to, and I think it's pretty fair if I give it a 7.5. It's going to speak to some people, mostly those who are online gamers and will dabble in online communities with their friends and perhaps family, but otherwise I'm really disappointed that they were able to let a lot of this stuff fly.
I'm pretty surprised. That's 7.5, while a decent score for most games, is a relatively low score for a Madden.
So I think so, and I mean, I had a tough time trying to figure out what number I wanted to give this, because it's tough to balance all that out. You know, the core gameplay experience is enjoyable, and you will get a fantastic, fun football outing out of it. There are mini games that you can play with your buddies. You know, there's team play that's online now where you can do 3-on-3. And, you know, that's stuff that's great, but the audio is absolutely horrendous. And frankly, other than the physics, I don't know if there's that much that's new. And, you know, I didn't even mention the mascots and the cheerleaders who ran it. You know, this is stuff that they were talking about a considerable amount. The ESPN broadcast authentic camera angles that, you know, they'll show the stadium from the blimp, basically, before and after the game. You know, that it's so raw, and, you know, how many times are you going to watch the introduction to your team, especially when you're playing the franchise? No, you skip it. And there's no halftime show other than stitching together some clips without any commentary at all. And it's the same with the postgame show. They'll show one or two of the touchdowns, and then they'll just go to the top view of the stadium at night after the game. And it's like, come on, guys.
It sounds like they spent way too much time just working on the unimportant, you know, visual aspects of before and after the game.
There's definitely, you know, I get that feeling as well, but what bothers me is they were promoting the presentation aspects of the game, and there's so much about the presentation that's lacking, and it's really disappointing for me. But, you know, it is what it is. There are going to be people that love this game, and I think the majority of hardcore Madden fans probably don't. And, you know, I'm not suggesting that I'm a hardcore Madden fan, but I know a good sports game when I see it. And, unfortunately, this does not fall into the great sports game category. So that's Madden NFL 12. We'll talk about that NASCAR game. We've got lots of NBA 2K chatter to get to. Back to EA Sports, they've got an interesting initiative that they're starting up with the NCAA football folk. We'll talk about that and a whole bunch of other stuff. That was a lot of Madden stuff that I had to get off my chest. But you know,
do you feel better about it now?
Not really. we'll try to get as much as we can in a matter of moments. This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
We've got game. Do you in the game?
This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. I'm Zach Cooper. That's Moman Qureshi. Over there is Brian Calhoun. And hey, Christine Chubb. All right, so we talked about Madden a considerable amount, or at least I did.
Just a little bit,
A touch. Let's talk about Fan Expo, which was obviously last weekend, and we don't need to spend too much time, but there were some hanging questions that we put out there last week. Among them, how would the gaming atmosphere be in this year's event?
You want to know what the question got asked the most, though, was how can we get straight to this?
We'll get there. Hang on.
No, let's get right to it.
Let's not go first.
The other question was, how would Moman do with Eliza Dushku? You totally spoiled that.
That was the question that got asked like three times last week. I can't believe it.
I will say this.
Three times. That's huge.
I'll say this. So I went down on the we went down the Thursday.
Hang on. We need a little backstory. For those who didn't hear last week's show.
Or any of our other million shows that we've had.
Yes. So bring us up to date.
Okay, so here's the thing. When we first started our show 2.5 years ago, our first or second month, a story came across that Eliza Dushku, who we all know from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Dollhouse, Bring It On, various other things, said that she digs video games and she thinks that
dudes who play them.
Guys who play video games are real guys, and she likes guys.
From that moment, Moman was in love.
So from that moment, I said, you know, number one, this is my in, and number two, we need to have her on the show. And so over the last 2.5 years, been trying to get her on, didn't work. And then this year, last year she was supposed to be at the expo, she pulled out. This year she's there. I say, this is our chance. I'm gonna go in and try to make this happen. Go to the expo on Thursday with
media day. Yeah,
yeah, with Zach and Christine, and she wasn't there yet. So I tweeted the picture of her empty chair, and said, she is not here yet.
And did you do like an emoticon of your heart breaking?
I did the sad face of the two thumbs down.
Which we put that picture. We put a whole bunch of the other pictures on the last week's show blog on fan590.com.
I'm glad that picture's up there.
Check it out.
So then I went back on Sunday because I did overnight anchoring at 680 News all weekend, so I didn't really have the time or the energy. So I went back on Sunday afternoon around 4. So the expo's closing at 6. Sure enough, she's there, and I will say this to begin with. As hard as it is to believe, she looks better in person than she does on TV, which is difficult to believe. You saw her, Christine.
Yeah, she's very, very pretty.
Yeah, she looks good. It was amazing because Rick Fox is sitting right next to her, so as every single person was coming up there to get an autograph and talk to her,
he
was kind of just sitting. No, he was sitting. It was funny. He was just sitting there chilled behind a newspaper, but it was one of those things where I felt like if somebody said something, he'd do one of those things where he pulls the newspaper down to show his eyes and give them the dirty look and then just raises it back up. Or he stands up and reveals his 6'10" frame.
So how close did you get?
Not very.
What happened?
I went. Last year I had a lock with Stan Lee, and it was a lot of standing around.
And you had the uncomfortable sweats, and there was.
But it was a lot of standing around and talking to PR people and kind of working my magic. And so I went up to her PR person around 4 o'clock, and I said, "This is who I am. Here's my card. This is the backstory." And he's like, "If you try to come back a little later, we might be able to work something out." Great. That's what I want to hear. So I went back around 5:15.
You can't leave when that happens. No, you need to stay there. You got to make buddies with Rick Fox.
Yeah, I need to.
And be like, yo, hook it up with your wife, dog. No?
So I went back, and I started talking to the PR person, and he kept saying, well, I don't think we should do this, and it's not really the kind of stuff we do now. And I kept trying to work my magic on him, and he didn't even.
We discovered how much magic you have.
Hey, I got a one-on-one with Stan Lee last year, and nobody else did. So I know I have a bit of magic, but I think I may have used it all last year.
Yeah, I was going to say this is like Al Bundy throwing 5 touchdowns in high school. Is this?
No, he scored 4 touchdowns in one game. Get it right, as a running back.
Right.
no, it didn't happen. He didn't even pitch it to her. I was like, if you just, because she seemed, to her credit, she was really friendly. Like every person that came up and talked to her, she was talking to them and smiling and laughing and taking pictures and all that stuff. And Rick Fox so many times got down off the stage and took pictures of people and stuff. But he didn't even pitch it to her. And I was like, damn you. Once again, it eludes me.
All right, let's talk about the gaming element. So there was a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Overall, were we pleased?
I thought it was the best setup for gaming they've had so far.
They had Uncharted 3 multiplayer beta. They had Batman Arkham City. They had Microsoft showing off the Halo 10-year anniversary.
And
Gears of War 3.
Ubisoft had Rocksmith.
Ubisoft had a huge booth, which was great. I was very impressed with what Ubisoft had. And like you said, it was definitely a step up. Is it where you expected it to be?
I did. I thought it was beyond what I expected. I think Assassin's Creed was there too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So they had a much better setup, and what was, I don't know if it was good or bad, but it was kind of like sprinkled throughout the thing. Like usually they have them all crammed into one corner, which is good in a way because everything's all together. But this year it was kind of like booths were just all over the place. So as you walk through checking out different things, they had different gaming stuff. So I thought it was great.
The one thing that surprised me was how small Xbox was. It was just Halo and what was the other one?
And
it
Gears.
And it was like
eight people or something going in at a time.
Yeah, okay. I was shocked that that's all they were showing off, but I guess that's all they really need to.
All right, we got lots of stuff we want to get to. So we were talking about it at the tail end of the Madden NFL 12 review from the first segment. EA Sports has basically created an interesting initiative for its NCAA series in the football franchise, especially considering all the class action lawsuit business that's been going on for the last couple of years with the likeness of former players being used in their games. It's a fellowship program which will allow two former football student athletes to join up with EA Sports to essentially help them make NCAA football 13. And they kind of say, oh, you'll get to learn about the gaming industry and the sports gaming industry, and it's a paid fellowship, so they're not just abusing these players or anything. But it's interesting. I think it's kind of a make good on all the nastiness.
Bridging
that's going
the
on.
Gap, as they say.
Yeah. It's not enough, though. I mean, when we think about the damage they have done compared to this little PR stunt, I can't look at this and go,
what damage have they done, though? Really? I mean, they've used likeness of players, and college athletes are playing for free, and so their likeness is used in a game, and that's being sold, and all of a sudden that's going too far?
Yeah, I think so, because the difference is that if I play at Michigan, say Michigan is giving me a full ride and taking care of everything, I'm not getting a nickel or any sort of compensation.
You're in a game. You know your face is in a game. And
yeah, but they're making money off my back for nothing, though. So it's a very contentious issue, I think.
No, I'm not suggesting that, they shouldn't do this. I have a tough time believing that college football players are just walking around pissed off because EA Sports is using their likeness. I got to get paid off this. No, you got to get paid to play. I mean, I think that's the top priority at this point. Anyways, so NBA 2K12, developer diaries have been starting to flood out on their Facebook page, and we've learned a lot from this stuff. We knew about the 15 legends who were featured. Now we know about 34 historic teams. And we kind of joked about this, I think it was a couple weeks ago, with the NHL 12 doing something like a black and white broadcast. If there were legends like Rocket Richard or Jean Beliveau from earlier generations, but NBA 2K12 is doing just that with some of their old schoolers. The colors of the broadcast itself, the courts, the rules will all be reflective of the era, as will the commentary, which will apparently be set up kind of like an education seminar where you learn about this type of the time of the game, basically, which I think is fantastic. They've updated the faces and heads for 400 key players. And, how do you have 400 key players? I mean, October 4th cannot come soon enough for NBA 2K12, but that's 34 big teams, and I know Shaq is involved in that. We talked about some of the legends that may have been missed. I know Barkley's not one of the legends, but perhaps
as a ball fan, are there any particular teams that you would like to see represented there?
Lots. I mean, they had the Sonics of the early to mid 90s in last year's game. They've got the old Celtics. They've got so many solid teams that unless I see the full list of the 34 and spend a lot of time thinking about what teams that might not be in that list, I'm going to be probably pleased either way, even if there's one or two teams that they've left off. But there's tons of stuff in here, and that's kind of just what I wanted to bring up with this, just how much content they are bringing. And there's the whole debate whether if there is no NBA season, will this game still sell? I think 2K is doing enough that would warrant another purchase.
I wonder, though, if they would do this much if there was an NBA season, though.
Yes. Well, they've been preparing this for a while. It's not like, they throw it in at the last minute with a few months to go.
Agreed. This game would have to have been in production for at least a couple of years.
So the licensing agreements, you work on this for a while as well. But I love the idea of the black and white, grainy, presentations. That's fantastic. So we kind of talked about a little bit about this as well, where, we send notes to each other and whatnot before the show, stuff we want to talk about. And, Calhoun writes, Activision plans to ruin NASCAR.
It's true.
You're not happy, obviously. Basically, the story, and we'll get your commentary on this in a moment. We only have about 2 minutes or so, but Activision is bringing a new NASCAR game to the mix. NASCAR Unleashed is what it's called. It's been announced for the 360, PS3, 3DS, and the Wii. It's an arcade-style racer with a loosened physics engine.
It's Mario Kart.
Lots of bumping and grinding and power-ups. I think that's the key word that freaks you out. At least five licensed tracks and 15 drivers. So you're concerned that it's going to turn into an arcade racer with power-ups that you'll, you know, drive over or whatever, and you'll get a gun.
It's like they're taking
out
everything out of NASCAR that makes it NASCAR and then tossing it
but
away.
What
then
are you basing that on? Just the word power-ups?
No, it's on top of everything, it's the loosened physics or the relaxed physics that they're going to have on top of that. I mean, grip and aerodynamics play such a key in getting around the track fast. You know, they're going to have drafting, but it's not enough. It's like if they focus tested NBA 2K12 and they said, well, people really aren't responding well to the, you know, the 3-point shot, so they took it out of the game and they said, here it is. That's what they're doing to this.
Aren't you the king of saying, let's see what they show me before I make a judgment, though? I mean, that's kind of been everything that you've talked about in the past, and this time around, you've already made up your mind that Activision is going to just ruin NASCAR, and that's a direct quote from you. You know, shouldn't you, you know, hold off your judgment and wait to see what happens?
I'm not reviewing this game.
No, I understand that.
I'm not giving a score and telling anyone right now they should not buy it.
No, but you've already created a perception for yourself. You've established that you're going into this with a negative mind state as is.
I'm allowed to have a personal opinion on it. I'm not reflecting that personal opinion towards buying advice for our listeners.
We just got to make sure that you remember that you've said that for this game, because when we talk about stuff that we've got opinions on when it's just been announced, we get our own opinions on that too.
I don't think I've ever stopped your opinions, but we're getting off topic here. We're talking about Mario Kart the game with like NASCAR licenses, and they've made some strange choices in this game. Tracks like they're picking Martinsville. If I was to make a Mario Kart like NASCAR game, why would I put Martinsville? Martinsville is a half mile speedway.
How do you know they're making Mario Kart like? You're assuming it's Mario Kart like.
You've just decided that that's what Activision's doing.
Powers up. Gordon's going to get a blue shell that he can throw at Mark Martin, whatever.
Bananas.
Loosened physics and power ups. Name another racing game that has that. That's not Mario Kart.
Mod Nation Racers
is heavily built on
Mario
Kart.
I'm just naming the games that aren't Mario Kart.
And so is Blur.
But this is just a title that's been announced.
I know.
I mean,
and everything I've read in this press release is just making me angry.
Yeah, it's
been an angry show today. It's been an angry, angry show.
It's very uncomfortable for me. Got a good 4-foot gap.
I'm just saying, who is this going to appeal to? Who is the NASCAR fan who's sitting there going, you want to know what? I want a NASCAR game that doesn't have anything in sport that I actually like. Who are they going to make this game for?
I think just to make Calhoun mad, the rest of us should buy the game and be really excited about it.
I will definitely invest money in this game. As much as I dislike NASCAR as an entity, I will buy this game.
See, and then let's tweet about how awesome it is. Yeah. If you don't like this game...
I just platinumed NASCAR... What's it called? NASCAR Unleashed.
I'm going to tweet... This game provides such an authentic NASCAR feel, you have no idea.
So we
I hate you. I hate you so much right now.
We'll find out if Driver San Francisco will appeal to Calhoun a little bit more so, or at least we'll find out the guts and what goes into Driver San Francisco.
But we will also find that out not this week, but next.
Yes, next week. I mean, we got tons of stuff next week as well. But right around the corner, Driver San Francisco will go inside that. We'll talk a little bit about Resistance 3. We've got Mortal Kombat Collection and Sony delving into the tablet world, and they're going to bring a whole whack of gaming into that as well. This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
We've got game. Do you gameplay?
This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. I'm Zach Kupel. We got Momin Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, and Christine Chubb. Just a heads up, we're going to have the NHL 12 review a week early. So you heard, we kind of mixed up the order in this show. We did Madden first off the show. Next week, we're going to do the NHL 12 review a week before the game comes out, or at least a few days before the game comes out. And it's going to be a live show. So if you've got questions about NHL 12, we'll open up the phone lines. We'll take your tweets and emails and everything of the sort. GotGame@fan590.com is the email address, by the way. We'll open it up to you, and we will address everything that sparks your curiosity with NHL 12. Another game that we will be dealing with next week is Driver San Francisco from Ubisoft, and we'll dabble into that in a few moments. Resistance 3 is a game that's coming out on Tuesday as well. That's a PlayStation 3 exclusive, which we got to spend some time with, I guess it was a couple weeks back. And, if you are curious about this game, and you should be, because it looks good, it sounds good, there's a lot to it. We had a chance to speak with the creative director, who is Marcus Smith of Insomniac Games. It is available on our website on the Got Game blog on fan590.com. You can check it out, find out why it's different from all the other first-person shooters, and if you're a fan of the series, where it picks up from there. But another game that's coming out is Driver San Francisco, and we got a chance to speak with Phil Brenly from Ubisoft.
Driver is a long-running franchise. Driver San Francisco must have a different story because all of them seem to be set up a little differently. What's going on in Driver San Francisco? When I put the game in, what's the story going to be like?
Well, in Driver San Francisco, you play the role of master driver John Tanner, who's been in the whole series. He's back. And he's in pursuit of his nemesis, Jericho. So it's a good old sort of movie, TV style, good versus bad. And we've basically recreated a movie car chase experience. It's all about the driving. And you'll basically complete over 30 story missions. But it's an open world game as well. So you have lots of side activities, challenges, dares, activities. We've also got the return of film director, so you can actually chop up, you can actually record your movie chases, and you'll be able to chop them up, change camera angles, and upload those to YouTube, Facebook, sort of game to web feature. So that's a basic premise. It's a huge game, so you just have to try it.
Now, before we actually start this interview, you and me were talking about some of the inspirations you searched for, sort of to build this game, and one of them that you said kind of surprised me. You said Bourne Identity, which I don't really equate as a driving movie. It's more of an action movie. So I fear, are there any non-driving sections in this game, or is it all, once you're in the game, you're behind the wheel the entire time?
Well, it's called Driver. So once you're behind the wheel, yeah, that's it. It's all about driving, and that's what Reflections are good at. We've got a very unique handling. We've created our own proprietary engine, which is the game. But it's got a very sort of, if you imagine films like The Bullet, Vanishing Points, that sort of loose suspension and drifting around corners, that sort of movie feel. And I mentioned the sort of Bourne films, not particularly because of the action in it, but the car chases in particular are inspiration. But obviously there's the original, The Driver, even films like Blues Brothers, the car chase in that. You know, things that they're all inspiration, and it's basically Hollywood car chases. That's what we've recreated here.
That's exactly what I want to hear, because once I get behind the wheel, I want to be behind the wheel, and that's pretty much what I'm going to get from my understanding, because you guys got this new mechanic in the game that lets you switch from one car to the other really quickly. You don't really have to stop the action if you don't want to. Can you just sort of describe to us what that mechanic is and how it works?
It's I could describe it, but really you need hands-on to actually experience it. But what it's called Shift. Because you don't get out of the car in Driver San Francisco, obviously we needed a mechanic to shift from car to car, so to speak. But simply you just press X to jump out of the car. You could choose any vehicle in the environment. There's over 120 licensed cars. And you just you put the cursor over which car you want to drive, hit X again, and you jump straight back into the action. It's as simple as that. But it's a massive map. You can using Shift, you can go from one side of the city to the other. But it's really difficult to describe. But what I suggest is play it, try it. We're working on a consumer demo, so you'll be able to try the feature. But yeah, it's very unique, and in multiplayer in particular, it's a very interesting feature. But check out the trailers if you can't, otherwise play the demo when it comes out.
Can you describe to us what the multiplayer is going to be like?
It's not like any other drive-in sort of multiplayer. It's very much, where we started developing it, it was very much with first-person shooters in mind. So you use your car as weapons, and we have things like capture the flag. We were showing tag here, which is basically tag, the sort of game you played at school with your mates, just tag, chasing after each other in cars. We've got a mode called Blitz, where you protect an area with your cars while your opponents are trying to get into the area. So yeah, there's over 19 multiplayer modes in total, as well as online. We've got offline, split screen, co-op, etc. So again, buy the game and try it, check it out. But yeah, very much first person in mind when we're making the multiplayer.
And it's Driver San Francisco. A second ago, you actually talked about the map. Now, I've never been to San Francisco before, but someone who has, would they be able to, say, drive past their house or drive past the hotels, the entire city of San Francisco in there?
Yeah, we've had a bit of creative license. The city is a bit squashed, but for that gaming experience, it's a much tighter model of San Francisco. We've widened some of the roads, so Lombard Street isn't the thin, windy road you have in real life. It's much wider, but that's obviously for the gaming experience. But I've had people here the last couple of days saying, oh, I work in that building, I live in that building. So it is a true recreation. We've just tweaked bits and pieces there, but you'll have all the landmarks, etc. So Golden Gate Bridge is in there, and all the districts like Marin County, Oakland, they're all around in the game.
Now, there are, from what I can see, a ton of cars in the game. How many actual different car models do you have?
It's over 120 licensed cars in total. Pretty much most manufacturers, bar a couple. All the cars are destructible, so that was really a difficult negotiation process with some of the manufacturers. But Driver is all about movies, crashes, stunts, etc. So in total, yeah, we've got over 120 in total, and you could drive any of them.
And the other thing that caught my eye was, this is not exactly, say, a Grand Theft Auto. You guys have some pretty fast civilians. What's going on there? Because I kind of ran over a few, or tried to, but they're pretty quick. How'd that work?
Well, we want it to be a teen-rated game, or 12+, so we're not Carmageddon, for example, so you can't run over pedestrians, and it's not very nice to do in real life anyway. So, but they move pretty quick. I saw you trying to run a few over, but they're too quick for you.
That was Phil Brenly from Ubisoft talking about Driver San Francisco, which is coming out next week, along with Resistance 3, Blood Rain Betrayal on the PSN the following week on the 360. This is a game that you're obviously pretty excited
about. Yeah, as a fan of actually driving, it's something I'm really excited about. That's not a dig against NASCAR Unleashed, that you know of. But I played this game a lot in a couple beta builds, and the driving just feels amazing. It actually makes you feel like you're a better driver than you are, because it's just so easy to drift and, you know, do burnouts and stuff like that, which is really enjoyable. It's a huge, crowded city environment in San Francisco. There's tons of racing modes, different variants on the actual race. There's online tag. There's a whole bunch of stuff.
We'll
in
get
game.
Into all this stuff in the review, which we'll have next week. We'll also review, as mentioned, Resistance 3. And if you missed it earlier, we're going to be talking about NHL 12 a little bit early. We're going to have a live show, so we'll open it up for your calls, your emails, your tweets, anything you are curious about regarding NHL 12 before its release. We'll do that next Saturday at 5 o'clock.
We will also take carrier pigeons if you want to send those. We have a window in our booth.
The window doesn't open, though, so make sure it's very legible.
We'll make sure the pigeon can unroll it and push it against the glass for us to read it.
In big black marker. So a game that is part of the PlayStation Play series, I think. I know it's also available on the Xbox Live arcade, is Mortal Kombat Collection. Calhoun, you spent some time doing some fatalities.
I think you're mixing that up with the Street Fighter Third Strike or whatever that one is.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. It's available for PSN and Xbox Live, and it is lots of Mortal Kombat.
And it's basically, you know, you guys played Mortal Kombat in the arcades when you were kids. This is...
Hi.
What was that? What was that noise?
Hi, I did, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I said, oi, I did.
Okay. I wasn't totally sure, but yeah. This is the package of those games. It's a nostalgic look back at our childhood, which is why I really enjoyed it. Problem is that they took Mortal Kombat, Mortal Kombat 2, and Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, and they jammed them into the frameworks of the PlayStation Network and the Xbox 360. And the problem with that is that they don't really match up well. Once you're actually playing the game in a single-player mode, it's not that bad. There are a few issues from that still. Like, there's a pause button. If you pause the game to, say, look up a move on the fight on the character's move list, you unpause it, you lose control of your character for a little while. That could damage you in a fight. Yeah, it's really weird.
How do you lose control of your character?
For a second, you can't move, and this game just continues on without you.
You should probably do the old school, go on the internet and print up some moves.
Yeah, you wonder what? I tried a few times to actually just look up the move, because I got so used to that in Mortal Kombat 9, because it's just so easy to do that in Mortal Kombat 9, so I was just doing it in this game, and it got to the point where, just because of this pausing that happens, you know, the fact that you lose control after the pause. Yes, exactly. Because of that, I just went to a computer and printed it up. Online, you know, they tried to force that in as well, and online is constantly laggy. It's very slow. It feels like everyone's moving at an extremely slow pace. And these are just, you know, a couple of huge problems that you get from actually trying to jam these games into the Xbox and the PSN framework. So my suggestion is, if you're looking to go back and have a nostalgic look at your childhood with these games, you know, this is definitely worth the $10 or the 800 points you're going to have to pay for it. But if you're looking to go, you know, if you want a fighting game, I cannot suggest this. I'd say get yourself MK9. It's a far better game for that.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Yeah,
all right,
it's amazing.
So that is Mortal Kombat Collection. Again, it's $10 or 800 Microsoft points.
I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10.
5 out of 10. All right. We've got a minute and a half to talk about Sony venturing into the tablet business. We know everyone's getting in on that. So the reason why we're talking about it is the fact that it is basically PlayStation certified. If you're curious about what that means, check out the interview that we got on the Got Game blog on fan590.com. Just a quick overview. This thing looks beautiful. beautiful. It's called the Sony Tablet S. It's got a 9.4-inch touchscreen. It's powered by Google's latest Honeycomb operating system with the standard Android guts. Wi-Fi compatibility, front and rear-facing cameras, mini USB and SD card ports as well. It will be available sometime this month. But the big reason why we're talking about it at all is the fact that it is PlayStation certified. It's going to have PS1 and PSP titles, but there's so much more to this. To find out, check out fan590.com. Check out the Got Game blog. Calhoun, you did an interview.
Yeah, actually, last week I had a chance to talk to Carl Warminick, and Carl's job is to take the Sony Tablet S and show it off to media and business partners and retailers, which was really cool because this guy knows everything there is to know about the Sony Tablet S. So he was able to answer questions like, what exactly does it mean when you say that this tablet is PlayStation certified? Or what exactly are customizable video game controls?
Everyone's hands are different. Everyone's going to hold the tablet differently. So what we've done is actually developed an interface that allows you to customize and move the control anywhere you want on the screen. So depending if you're an adult or a child, you'll be holding the tablet differently, and you can configure the controls to fit where your hands are going to be sitting on the tablet at all times. So no matter what game you're playing, it takes a little bit of a small learning curve, but once you play for about 5-10 minutes, it's like second nature.
That's just a small taste of the interview that I did with Carl. And Zach, like you said, the entire interview can be heard right now on our blog at fan590.com.
All right, so next week, huge week as far as this show goes and gaming. You know, we talked about Driver San Francisco. That's coming out. Resistance 3 is coming out. Blood Rain Betrayal is coming out. And
we have an interview of that as well, which we were going to put up on the show blog. Blood Rain Betrayal interview from E3.
All right, so check that out on the webpage as well. But remember, next week, we are going live Saturday the 10th at 5 p.m. You want to tune in. We want you to call in, email, tweet, let us know your thoughts about NHL 12, and we will let you know what you want to hear a couple days before it comes out. It's going to be fun. For Moman Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb, I am Zach Cooper. This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.